So my name is Cliff. Pastor called and mentioned to me, Cliff, mentioned something on the topic of love and marriage. And so many Sundays now, Nicole and Dave, thank you. They've covered 98.5. The rest of 1.5% is me today. So Pastor Warren tasked me to talk about love and marriage and the concept of forced separation. But I always think about the fact that the word doesn't have a meaning. It has a potential meaning. And the context given this word is meaning. So when I say forced separation, it is not the thing that happens in the Mexico border where they separate the children from the parents. It's more of, what if the father is deployed in the Persian Gulf, the wife is in Japan, or the father is teaching in Anchorage, Alaska, and the wife is in Great Lakes. So that's more of what Pastor wanted to talk about. I've used the same verses, Nicole and Dave. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And Ephesians 5:20-21, giving thanks always for all things to God, and the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another. So I have one question to answer today. How do you protect yourself, husbands, when you're away from your wife? Shipmates, when you're away from your home port? When you're by yourself in Saipan or in Vladivostok, Russia? So I listen to four dead people every week. But I'm going to put a euphemism to that. I listen to four individuals every week. I listen to one of these individuals almost every day. They've helped me. John MacArthur, Bode Buckham, Charlie Kirk, before he was killed, and Dr. James Dobson. The year for me, 2025, was devastating. I lost all those four folks. And I lost my mother and my brother also. They passed away in 2025. The life moves on for me and my family. I love my wife, my daughter very much. Family for me is first and foremost. The family is the backbone of civilization. It's defined in Genesis 2:24. You leave your mother, your father, you cleave to your wife, your husband, in your one flesh. Unfortunately, the family has been attacked for years now, and even worse today. Many perverted men just find a woman and procreate and leave. Go to another woman and procreate and leave. Go to another woman and procreate and leave. You probably see that. Fatherlessness is ubiquitous in our society. And that fractures the backbone of civilization. And that is fractured. It affects the community. It affects the nation. It affects the world as a whole. And we see the negative ramifications of that domino effect. So just one question for me to answer. How do you protect yourself when you're forcing separated from your spouse and your kids? So before I start talking about forced separation, I want to share something that Dave and Nicole already mentioned, but John MacArthur further elucidated on the subject of submitting to one another. I will also cover the concept of the depravity of man before I share with you some unfortunate forced separation stories that are horrible, dreadful, and just merely spine chilling. I've seen that in the Navy. I've seen that when I was a prison warden as well. Submitting to one another from J. Mac, and I quote, if you're subjecting yourself to others, you must humble yourself, distance yourself from selfishness and conceit, and regard others as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own interests, but also the interests of others. For the sake of Christ, for the honor of Christ, for his name, for his glory, we all submit to one another. Now, this is a spiritual command. The wife subjects herself to the husband, and the wife recognizes the husband's headship in the home. We know that. On the other hand, the husband subjects himself to the wife by recognizing her needs and self-sacrificing and making sure that those needs are met. The children submit to the parents via their obedient behavior. But think about this. The parents also submit to the children by not provoking them to anger. The idea of verse 21 is that we all submit to each other, that we are concerned more with others more than ourselves. This is a concept, J. Mac said, called humble submissiveness. And I know Dave and Nicole pinged on this a couple of times. This, however, does not obliterate the idea of authority and order by God's design. That is function. In the essence of relationships, subjecting ourselves to all of those around us is a spiritual standard. This has to be authority and submission. So simple, wives submit to your husbands, children bear parents of the Lord in church. We submit ourselves to the elders over us. And the elders preach in all authority and don't let anyone evade from that. 1 Peter 5, we don't lord it all over the people. We don't do this to dominate people, but we serve them as loving shepherds. So there will be authority and submission and function. Children to parents, wives to husbands, congregation to elders, and citizens to the government. Close quote. That message clears some couplets that I had in my mind. Moving along. I like the portrayal of the dance of men. Nicole, husbands love your wives. Wives submit to your husbands. I like the analogy. So here's Nicole standing here. So, the dance with marriage.
Huh?
And that's a husband, right? And then the wife just follows the leading of the husband. My problem now is this. Yes, the husband is doing his dance of marriage. The wife submits. But the problem is the husband is here. The husband is in Russia. I was in Russia during the time, 94, when there was a good bromance between Gorbachev, Reagan, and Clinton. They sent two cruisers to Russia and had the chance to set foot on Vladivostok, Russia. When I was there, this lady was looking at me. She's like, man, I'm just an average looking person. But no, she was looking at me not because of the way I look, but because I was wearing service dress blues. And she was probably thinking that I have a blue passport. I was still a Filipino citizen, so I had a green passport. She said, man, this girl, is she locked on? Why is she locked on me? And then I looked at him and she did. I said, I'm not good looking, man. I'm not like Dr. Saxon, looks like Richard. That makes Jamie Julia Roberts. You know what I did, folks? As she did that. And for me, I was a Christian that time already. You know what I did? Run, Forrest, run. I did. Because I saw a lot of the sailors were already having ladies beside them. And that same day, I went to the beach. I love taking pictures. There's a lot of pictures. And the ship pulled in. It was a Filipino guy coming down. He was not a sailor. He was an international seaman. He came running. I don't know why he knew I was a Cebuano man. He came running and said, hey, buddy, I'll sit down beside him and I'll walk on my body. That means, hey, bro, where are the beautiful Russian women in here? You know what I mean? Run, Forrest, run! Every time a ship pulls in Australia, you get a 5,000 crew carrier. The ship hasn't even pulled in yet. We get Australia. They love Americans, man. They got Australian women all throwing their tennis balls. Boom! And the tennis balls, they have phone numbers. So when we pull in, we get hooked. For separation, what are you going to do? Let's say your wife's name is Linda Nanga. Actually, this topic, man, are for Cliff, Noel, Ahars, Ryan, Linda, and Mr. Young. This verse, forces separated from our spouses. This is for us. Only Noel is here. And me. Nanga, Linda. Linda Nanga is the Linda Nanga. She does not become a Beyonce when she goes to Las Vegas. Or she does not become a Halle Berry when she goes to Dallas, Fort Worth. Linda Nanga is Linda Nanga of LCBC, wherever the Lord puts her. So I'm going to pause right here. So I can't even start with love and marriage. I have to start with a concept called the depravity of man. Why women and why men do what they do. Sorry, I took a caption on this one. While often misunderstood, that's the marriage by Nicole. While often misunderstood, the doctrine of total depravity is an acknowledgement that the Bible teaches that as a result of the fall of man, Genesis 3:6, every part of man, his mind, his will, emotions, and flesh
have been corrupted by sin. In other words, sin affects all areas of our being, including who we are and what we do. It penetrates to the very core of our being so that everything is tainted by sin. It acknowledges that the Bible teaches that we sin because we are sinners by nature. So that's the depravity of nature, depravity of man in a nutshell, right there. I don't know if you saw the story. If you listen to voting, the lights quoted, mentioned the story. So here's a scorpion. Scorpion said, "Hey, Froggy, what's going on, man? How you doing? Can you help me out? I want to cross to the other side of the river because there's a greener pasture over there." And Froggy said, "No, man, I'm not going to do that, but you're going to sting me, man." And Scorpion said, "No, no, I won, bro. You're giving me a favor. Just let me ride, man." So he got that Scorpion riding on the Froggy. The Froggy started doing his frog kick. Three-fourths of the way, the Froggy felt that sting. And he goes, "Is that you, Scorpion?" Scorpion, "Oh, I guess so, man." And Froggy says, "Why did you do that?" Scorpion said, "That is my nature." And there's us men, women, federal headship, the only two functional folks who lived were Adam and Eve. Those two functional folks made us all dysfunctional. Adam, first Adam, imputed us unrighteousness. Thank God, God loves us, gave Christ, and we gave our unrighteousness to Christ. Christ gave his righteousness to us in the foot of Calvary. Thank God he did that. I was born and raised in the Philippines in a close-knit type of family. My father was a math professor 45 years, the statistician of the university, and my mom was an insurance agent. My father was an academician, my mother was a disciplinarian at home. But growing up, even with loving parents and loving siblings, I was still a depraved dude. I wasn't saved until I was 17. When I was dropping the Sunday school message, I had to stop and pray and re-ask forgiveness from the Lord. There were crazy things that I did. I was like, "Lord, why did I do that?" I mean, one time I was in the divinity department, divinity for all departments. I was walking with my book, and I was with my friend. He's Christian, me, I'm not saved. And I was 5'10 at the time, and the ceiling was here, and it was a fluorescent tube. So I was walking there, and just out of my depraved nature, I was walking in there, I'm just, boom! Everything that's blasted, glass all over, argon gas, and I never flinched, man. Boom! Just walked. Guys, "Hey, what was that, Cliff, man?" And my father was in Fresno University. I hope I wasn't caught. We didn't have CCTV, it was expensive in Philippines at that time. Did you cover your ears?
Oh.
Cover your ears? Judy's a city slicker. I grew up in the province. So me, I don't even know the difference between a poisonous snake and a not poisonous snake. So we go to the field and just catch. Bam, boom. I got my pliers, take the fangs off. Put the snake in my pocket when I go to school, put it in my drawer. So if some of those girls go in there, guess what they're going to see? Snake. Why do you do that, man? So sometimes you say my sins, not my wife's suffering. Why did I do all those things? My parents taught me to be kind to animals and not to vandalize. Why did I do all those crazy things? Not a proud of man. And guess what? When I joined the Navy, this is what I saw. Love, marriage, divorce, death. I shared some of this before. Sergeant First Class strangled his wife to death because she was philandering around with another man. I was a prison warden at the time, a Marine couple. They were there, husband and wife, incarcerated at Naval Breach Pearl Harbor because they slammed their infant to the wall. Why would you do that? That's your offspring, man. It's stressful in life, but my goodness, that's your baby. The husband was charged with murder. The wife was charged with obstruction of justice. Our friends from Ohana Baptist Church, we were in the same Bible study group. The wife shared her testimony. Her husband was deployed and brought her STD when he came back from the deployment. Forced separation. Man knew what they do. In every port report. Every time our ship was in Singapore. And you know why? I hear this stuff. Because you stand watch with these people. They're still my shipmates. They need the Lord too. I don't know if Noel or Lou remembers this. Every time our ship was in Singapore, sailors go to the place called the Four Floors of Oars.
First floor, Chinese horse. Second floor, Russian horse.
We hear this every time we pull in. The depravity of man, the sinfulness of sin, and abomination to God. Forced separation. When preparing this, I read the book, Straight Talk to Men, by James Dobson, Dare to Discipline, and I listened to Modi and John McCarthy as well. This is coming from Straight Talk to Men by James Dobson. In the USA alone, more than 90,000 women are brutally raped every day or every year, at least every year. 1 in 3 adult females living in certain cities will be ravaged during their lifetime. 1 in every 5 college women is raped on campus, usually by someone they know. This is disgrace in our time. And then you tell me, Brother Cliff, of course they do those because they are not Christians. And my response is, really? Really? Stephen Lawson spoke sound theology. Professor of Master's Seminary, founder of a One Pastor Ministries, pastor for over 40 years, lead pastor of Trinity Bible Church of Dallas, 70 years of age, had a relationship with a woman who is 20 plus years old, who is not his wife. Forced separation. He travels. He's an itinerant preacher. You don't know what you see there, man. Well, Brother Cliff, just him. Really? Abby Zacharias, so-called the greatest Christian apologist of the century, and founder of RZIM, also fell into sin. The posthumous report commissioned by RZIM confirmed significant evidence of sexual misconduct over many years and in multiple contexts, as well as text and email-based relationship with women who were not his wife. Again, forced separation. I'm not sure why you're writing books 1,000 miles away from your wife and entered spa by yourself. That's dubious for me. Yeah, but Brother Cliff, he was only him and Rabbi. Jimmy Swaggart, a prominent televangelist who was photographed with a prostitute in New Orleans, 1988. He confessed his sin in front of the congregation, tears, but did it again in California in 1991. A big blow to the evangelical community. Folks, we are not fireproof. Bad things can happen to anybody. These are the stories living in this depraved world. Let's go back to love and marriage and answer the question. And that's the reason why I mentioned about depravity of men, because you hear the stories. I see more, and I cancel a lot of those, because it's spine chilling. So how can you protect yourself when you fall in a forced separation scenario? Being separated from your spouse because of work, deployment, or duty can feel emotionally heavy. And as a Christian, you may wonder how to stay faithful, grounded, and spiritually protected. Here are some biblically rooted practical ways to safeguard your heart, marriage, and walk with God during forced separation. So it's getting better now. The other statistics are pretty bad. Guard your heart intentionally. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. When you're physically apart, your heart becomes more vulnerable to loneliness, temptation, resentment or discouragement, or any emotional attachment to someone else. So how do you guard your heart? Stay rooted in scripture daily. I always tell my teens, Acts 17:11, search your scriptures daily. John chapter 1, verse 8, meditate on my word day and night. 2 Timothy 2:15, say that every Wednesday, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, right, divided. Keep your mind focused on truth rather than fears or fantasies. When you're out there, avoid situations, media, or conversations that could sway your loyalty or create emotional compromise. Pray regularly for your spouse, your children, your thoughts, and your marriage. Maintain strong communication. Separation puts strain on connection. 5 times in the Persian Gulf, on board 6 surface battleships. Even when I retire from the Navy, I travel every week. That's why I try my best to have Judy go with me. It's a test when you're out there. Separation puts strain on connection, but communication keeps the marriage alive. Try to schedule regular calls or video chats. Share your struggles honestly in a Christ-honored way. Talk about your day, emotions, and spiritual life. Pray together if possible.
I joined the Navy in 1991. I was 24 years old. No FaceTime. No internet. Everything was snail mail. But Judy and I promised to send a letter once a week. And eventually I received those letters. So once a week. So when the letter comes, snail mail, like four letters. But I waited for 1 month. When I called her, I called her once a month. I had to budget money. Because I told her, I'm going to go back. I'm going to marry you, girl. So what I do with $20, so I write everything I want to say to her. And I call. And I start A, D, B, C, D, E, F, G, and I love it. Boom. Done. $20. We also established the Jericho line that even with different time zones, we make sure that we prayed for a relationship every day. I told this to my friends. I tried to save money. In 1991, I ate a couple noodles every day. I was able to save $5,000. 1991 was a big month. Because I left my wife. Man. She was still my girlfriend at the time. You know what? When I saw her in Hong Kong, we got married in Hong Kong. First time I saw her, I thought her hair was like a bunch of noodles. 1 year of noodles. I said, I had a goal. I never had a credit card. I used just cash. Again, separation puts strain on connection, but communication keeps the marriage alive. Next, strengthen your spiritual life. Your spiritual isolation can be as dangerous as your physical isolation. Protect yourself by staying faithful in prayer, joining a church or a Bible study where you are, listen to sermons, and stay accountable to godly friends and mentors. So what I did was I was pretty close to the chaplain. We didn't have a religious petty officer. So every time we pull in ports, I go with the chaplain. I would get in trouble, man. I'm a chaplain. So we go on there, we do community service, we do outreach projects, and he conducts worship, and I was his sidekick. Unfortunately, chaplain, when my first chaplain left, I had another chaplain that came in. As soon as he pulled in port, he's the first one to go away. He got some liberty, come back, already drink, already red. He's been drinking. Good job, chaplain. Not you, that chaplain. Separation becomes harder spiritually if you try to walk alone. Next, set healthy boundaries. This protects you from temptation and protects your testimony. And so before I joined the Navy, I was teaching college algebra at Philippine Christian University. And so, my goodness, a beautiful Filipinas, man. They're not as beautiful as Judy, but they were beautiful. And look at this. This is Philippine Christian University, beautiful women. Right here is Philippine Women's University, like all women. They have St. Paul's College, like all women. This is Staff Avenue. Beautiful Filipinas everywhere. And so I was teaching, and one of the students, she was the most beautiful in the class. She looked at me. She smiled. And she raises her. She raises her. Said, all right. She looked at me again. I looked at her, and she went like this. She raises her skirt again. You know what I did? I went back. That was an algebra class. I went back, and when she opened her skirt, you know what I saw in there? X is equal to minus B plus minus square. B squared minus 4 is equal to 2A. And she had more than that to pass the test. I grabbed the paper. I said, you failed. You're beautiful, but you failed. And then I went to another class. No. I went inside Philippine Christian University. And this girl got out of her car and went to me straight and handed me a card. I'm like, dude, I'm a teacher. You're a student. Everybody's looking. I just said, I took off. I was thinking, why will you do that? You're an A student. Right? They want to hook up. I was 22. Testosterone kicking. They're women. Sad story in Thailand. You're walking in downtown Phuket or Pattaya. I don't know if I know what experience is. I mean, you're walking downtown Pattaya or Phuket. Your wife's with you. The girl is to grab you. They grab you. Sad story. You will see 60, 70
75-year-old European man with 15, 16, 17-year-old time. Girls, sad story. Sometimes the parents are pimping them. The depravity of man, the sinfulness of sin, an abomination to God. Here are some examples of boundaries. No private emotional conversations with someone of the opposite sex. Don't discuss marriage problems intimately with someone who is not a mentor, pastor, or counselor. Avoid environments that increase temptation, online or in person. I'm going to read this verse, 1 Corinthians 10, 15 states, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear." Fifth one, focus on purpose, not just pain. Sometimes God calls a person into a role that requires sacrifice. A lot of here, chaps, Louis, John, Noel, military missions, certain professions. Many biblical figures endured long separations, soldiers in the Old Testament, Paul and missionaries traveling, shepherds, fishermen, tradesmen, gone for long periods. Separation does not mean abandonment. It means there is a mission. I took orders of U.S. Vincennes. This was a ship that shot down the Iranian plane way back in 1988. So I said, "Ma," I said, "Judah, I'll take that." Because of the fact that she shut down that Iranian plane way back in 1988, she was banned to go to the Persian Gulf. I said, "If she doesn't go to the Persian Gulf, that's a good ship, man. I'll just stay in coastal naval base Japan. Spend time with my wife." I was wrong. Because of the fact that she was not going to the Persian Gulf, all the sorties, all the emergency underways, China shot ballistic missiles at Taiwan. Guess what? Then Vincennes sent away. Kim Jong-il, starting to get stupid. July 4th, fire the ballistic missile. December, fire the ballistic missile. Guess what? Then Vincennes sent away. It ended up 300 out of 55 days for that specific year. Judy still loves me. Separation does not mean abandonment. It means there is a mission. Next, remember your covenant. Your marriage covenant remains intact regardless of distance. Hebrews 13:4 says, "Marriage is honorable and the covenant is sacred." There are ways to protect the covenant. Remind yourself of your marriage or spouse. Give photos or reminders of your life together. Plan future goals and dreams and stay forward focused. Speak faithfully of your spouse to others. This wedding ring, I bought this. I was an E3, so I didn't have enough money. This is made in Bahrain, man. I use this ring for 33 years now. Changing Lubo duplex trainers, changing fuel coalesces. This ring has been in here. The only time I took this is we have an injury and casualty and I have to dematerialize myself. That was the only time I took this. I always have pictures of my wife and daughter when I'm deployed. I still remember my last night in Cebu before I left to join the U.S. Navy. I said, "Man," well, the story was, I had a girlfriend before Judy 4 years. And when that's not the plan for you, my God, God's going to do something. So that girlfriend didn't want me going to the U.S. He knows in the U.S. there's a lot of beautiful blondes and brunettes. So we separated. I told my mom, "Mom, I was 24 years old. From now on, no relationship until I'm 30. I'm going to focus on the U.S. Navy." And then Judy showed up in Dumaguete. I told my mom, I changed my mind. Man, when Judy showed up, "What's up, girl?" Man, she was just pretty, man. She's even pretty now. She said, "Hey, what's up, girl? My name is Tom Cruise." I made a story. She also said, "I'm Brooke Shield." And now she's got 8 surgeries. I call her Broken Shields. But beautiful Broken Shields. Yeah? Beautiful Broken Shields. I think when I saw Judy, I tell you what, my name was love at first sight. Boom! For her, to me, it was love at first fright. Again, your marriage covenant remains intact regardless of distance. Lean on God's strength during loneliness. Loneliness is real, but it doesn't have to defeat you. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted." Use lonely moments as invitations to worship Pray, reflect, and grow spiritually. Let God fill emotional spaces that your spouse cannot during this season. Finally, seek support instead of suffering alone. Pastors, chaplains, other church leaders, Christian counselors, and mentors can help you navigate emotional and spiritual strain. Good looking folks right there. Galatians 6 states, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You are not supposed to fight separation alone. There are ways to stay connected with your spouse and children, even long distance. You're not alone. And separation does not weaken or does not have to weaken your marriage. It can actually strengthen it when handled with faith and intentionality. I'm almost done. To recap. Got that from Nicole's pictures. How can Christians protect themselves through forced separation? Guard your heart intentionally. Maintain strong communication. Strengthen your spiritual life. Set healthy boundaries. Focus on purpose, not just pain. Remember your covenant. Lean on God's strength during loneliness and seek support instead of suffering alone. Almost done. I'd like to end this Sunday school time with a true story about Mark and Susan. Mark and Susan. Mark was an army thing, and Susan, they were married. And then Susan's vision started to deteriorate, and then she finally was blind. So Mark was driving her to work, and she was still working, and she was blind. Driving her, she was blind. And finally, Mark says, hey, Susan, I gotta go muster and assemble early in the morning now, so you have to do it yourself. Out of the house, in the bus, off the bus, to the office. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to train you. So Susan was blind. Yeah, Susan was blind. And so this is what you're going to get out of the house. Bring your stick off the house. Go to the bus stop. On the bus. Off the bus. Go to your office. Good to go. Monday, good. Perfect. Tuesday, good. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday's good. All right, tomorrow or next week. You got this one, girl. It's a Monday. There comes Susan, out of the house, on the bus, off the bus, to her office. She did this Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So Friday, when she went on the bus, the driver says, hey, Susan, you're a blessed woman. Susan said, stop it. I'm a blind woman. The driver said, no. Fast 4 days, every time I come on the bus, I did a handsome person out there, military uniform, making sure with eye of a hawk, you go into the bus. That same guy made sure that when you got off the bus, he was there watching you. And he made sure when you open the door or your office and go in, he's watching. Here comes this guy. Susan comes up, watches, hawk on, eye of a hawk, off the bus. I'll hop, go to his office. As soon as the office closed, she goes, who ya, wifey? Blows her a kiss. That's the love of a husband. It's God's love for us. He protects us, provides our needs, and prays and intercedes for us as well. In closing, the sacred bond of marriage, the love between a husband and wife becomes a living reflection of Christ's love for his church. A devoted husband provides with a steady hand, protects with unwavering courage, and prays with a heart anchored in faith, mirroring the way Jesus shelters, sustains, and intercedes for his people. As the wife receives, supports, and walks beside her husband, their unity becomes a testimony of grace. Together, their covenant points upward to the perfect, sacrificial, and everlasting love of Christ, who binds his church to himself with compassion, strength, and divine purpose. Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you so much for your goodness, grace, and mercy. Thank you, Father, for our local church, and for Pastor Ben as he continues to teach local pastors out there. Thank you for our church. I know 1 Corinthians 12 talks about many members, one body. Allow us, Father, to work together as a team here and serve you. Pray, Father, you'll be with Dr. Saxon as he preaches the word again this morning. Pastor Warren. Well, the
protect him, give him good health. And trust everything to your Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're dismissed, folks. We're good.
When my parents saved in the 70s, when Dad was stationed in Mason. And signs they have up for church activity and ministry to be allowed to sermon tapes every week. So she just signed him up for subscription. So he was at the same